Good morning, everyone. This is Gary Demas, president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers, and this is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. And Jamie Broslovsky, of course, is here with me.
Yes, so Jamie, good morning.
Today, we have a kind of an interesting topic. I think it's kind of a wide topic.
Yeah.
But we want to talk really about quality of materials and installation.
Yes.
And really, what does that mean, right?
That's right.
Yep. So before we get to that, I want everybody to know that they can go to our website and find out. Well, for one thing, they can look at a lot of pictures of quality projects. That helps.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the bankers, when they teach them how to find a counterfeit bill, you study the real one.
Yeah.
And the counterfeit shows. So look at the pictures on Dave Fox Remodeling of our remodeling jobs, and you'll see quality there.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you as a marketing director?
Heck yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And also, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Gary.
Father's Day. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Big day.
Yep.
Got any exciting plans?
I wonder what all my family has in store for me.
I'm sure a big party when you get home.
I don't know. I'm not a big party guy, but
no.
Whatever they do is going to be fine with me.
Well, you have so many grandkids. It's always a party.
Yep. That's true. That's all true. Right.
Good. Yeah. So quality is, I think, an interesting thing to kind of talk about because it really can mean something different to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Different people have different expectations of quality, and different people have experienced different levels of quality, which I think kind of sets that expectation. And then most people, I would say, don't understand quality. You know what I mean? What does it feel like? What does it look like? What's the difference? You know, you look at two cabinets next to each other and maybe think they look different, but you don't understand why or why they feel different when
or
you
honestly,
close the door.
They could both look great.
And or they could look the exact
could be
same.
One junk and one could be really good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that actually is what makes pictures tricky.
Sure.
You know, I think our pictures really do show our quality because we get really quality pictures taken.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could have someone else that takes a cell phone picture and puts a lot of filters on it, and it can look like really good quality. But in person, you know, that you can really see the imperfections
mm-hmm.
And feel the imperfections and
so
things like that.
We're looking for the real deal, right?
That's right.
We don't want any facade or bait and switch tactics, anything
mm-mm.
like that. What is real quality?
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. And it's definitely something that we at Dave Fox pride ourselves on is
you
the
know,
quality.
Okay. So I first came to Dave Fox in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Was that before you were born?
It was not before I was born.
Okay.
But thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate
All
that.
Right. Okay. So, let's see. I had run a remodeling business in Findlay, Ohio for a number of years. And so then we made some life changes, moved the family out to Portland, Oregon for a while, and then moved back to Columbus, which is where I was born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
So moved back here. I started working for Dave Fox in 93. So Dave Fox was always a quality guy. We were always known for quality.
Yeah.
We didn't always have the best customer service. Back in some of those days, I remember being way overcommitted some summers and clients were not happy. And so we've come a long way there. Although I have to say after all the COVID stuff and things, we kind of experienced some of the things, you know, just jobs running too long and hard to get materials and hiring
yeah.
new people and training them has been a struggle here
mm-hmm.
in the last couple of years. But we've always been a quality company, and that was a big thing of Dave Fox. He said, I never want to walk away from a job I'm not proud of. And he really meant it.
Yeah.
So I think that has stuck with our company from then to now, and I think we're the same way today.
Yeah.
So quality is really important, and quality is not only product, but it's installation too. And installation has a lot to do with how well the product's going to perform over time. So good installers always like to work with quality materials. They hate working with junk.
Yeah.
A lot of times they will not work with junk.
Right.
So kind of goes hand in hand there. Good craftsman is going to want great materials.
As someone that has put together their fair amount of IKEA furniture, let me tell you, okay. It goes together a lot smoother when it is not IKEA furniture.
Okay. I wonder where you were going with that.
Yeah, it was, yes. It's definitely, you definitely see the difference. If you put something together, even just like a simple bookshelf, you know, that you bought at no offense to IKEA. IKEA is great. Okay. And a lot of our like kids' playroom stuff is IKEA because that's a great perfect for that.
Product for a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah.
Affordable.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a lot of great characteristics. Yeah. Its installation is not one of
them. But Dayfox does not use IKEA products.
No, it does not.
And there's a reason for that.
Yes.
Our clients really are looking for quality. I mean, that's what our reputation is, and they're looking for quality, and we need to deliver that quality products and installation.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess where do we start with that? Because in remodeling, my gosh, there's so many different areas where that comes into play.
Yeah. Well, I think let's start from, you know, how you would build something. So the ground up kind of a thing. So. Foundation. Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
Okay.
You know, you think of a foundation, you think, okay, you got to dig a hole. Is there a quality way to dig a hole and a not quality way to dig a hole?
Well, I'll have to ask Kevin, our excavator, and see what he has to say about that. But obviously layout's going to be critical. There's so many things that come into play with foundations. How high is your finished floor to the ground outside? If it's really close, that presents problems because you've got water that drains against stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want water draining against our house. So foundations, you know, the layout and planning is so critical. And if we're working, and sometimes we do get into situations where the outside grade, maybe the backyard is sloping towards the house the whole way, and maybe the finished floor is only 8 inches above the grade. That's tough. So sometimes we'll have to do more excavating around the back and create like a swale that will drain water out around in a room addition. But all those things come into play in planning and engineering. So that's a big part of the quality product too, is are things planned correctly? Are they engineered well to last over time?
Yeah. And I think that's too, you kind of hit the nail on the head with what is the purpose of the quality? It's to last. You know, it's really about the longevity of what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think
it's good and perform well over a long period of time.
Exactly. And you can, you know, you can install a high quality product poorly.
Yeah.
And you can install a low quality product really well. And neither one's probably going to last as long as a high-quality product installed at a high quality.
Yeah, that's a good way. So let's say you take a quality product and install it poorly.
Yeah.
Well, if you get a good mechanic back there to do it right, he can probably salvage that quality product and make it work.
Yeah.
If you take a low-quality product and install it well, I guess that ensures you of getting the maximum life, whatever that life is, in that low-quality product.
Right? Yeah. But it's still not going to be as long as the quality product installed well and properly. And that's where, you know, it's always, we always run into this challenge too of, you know, what does it cost to remodel a bathroom? What does it cost to remodel a kitchen? It says, well, and we always say, you know, there's a difference. There's a difference. You can remodel a bathroom on your own with low quality materials for a lower budget than you can with a full service professional contractor with high quality materials and high quality installation. One of those, you're gonna do a lot, redo things a lot sooner than the other, you know? And so it depends, people are different and what they want and their needs are different. Sure. We are not for everybody.
Yeah.
As is that low quality, low budget bathroom is not for everybody.
That's right.
And I think that's what it comes down to.
We're gonna talk a lot more about that in just a minute. Today on the Dayfox Home Remodeling Show, we're talking about quality, right, Jamie?
That's right.
Quality materials and?
Install.
Install. They both work hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked to, in our previous segment, you know, talking about taking a poor product, installing it well versus a good product and installing it poorly.
Yeah.
What the outcomes of that are.
Yes.
Okay, so if you happen to miss that and want to know what that super secret formula was, you can go to DaveFoxRadio.com, and there you can listen to it or any other broadcast we've done. Or you can
podcast. Look at quality pictures.
Or look at quality pictures. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get back to this. This is kind of fun.
Okay.
So we were talking about, what were we talking about?
So we talked about, you know, the initial planning and engineering of a product.
Foundations.
Yeah. And the foundation and really the quality and importance there comes from the planning.
Yeah.
And things like that. And I would say, you know, as far as digging the hole, you know, to an extent, a hole is a hole, but there's different ways to do that. There's cleaner ways to do that. There's less disruptive ways to do that. And there's really messy ways to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think having, you know, if you put me out there on an excavator and asked me to dig a hole,
I'd like to see that.
I would as well. I think it'd be a great time.
I think you would have a blast.
I don't want to do that for any of our clients, of course, though, because I think I'd probably be pretty bad at it and pretty messy.
Yeah.
And
do it on your own home.
And probably break some stuff, okay, quite frankly. So,
but wouldn't that be fun?
It would be a great time. There's actually, I've heard there's like places in Florida that you get to drive this big equipment, and it's just like for fun.
Yeah.
You can come and like pay to have a couple hours on a big excavator and just go to town.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing nearby, so you really can't mess it up.
Cool.
But you know, when we're digging right next to somebody's house. Mm-hmm. There are glass windows, you know, there is, and there might be landscaping that they're trying to keep around, things like that. There is an art form to that and doing it well. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the soil too, because that makes a big difference.
It does.
Good soil drains well. So if you get a lot of water and a lot of rain, like around my house is clay. And mm-hmm. clay just kind of, the
same.
Water sets on the top.
Yep.
And it's funny how it will hold so much water. And that means pressure against foundation. So when I put my addition on, when we dug around, I extended the basement out. So there's a lot of digging and a lot of clay. And I did have a situation where the whole backyard was draining towards the house.
Oh.
So I had, speaking of fun, I rented a big John Deere 450 bulldozer, and I had a blast with that thing. But I had to take a lot of dirt out and create this swale, so a lower area outside of my addition. So the water would all come down and hit that lower area, and I put like a tile and in stone all the way around to catch all that water and divert it around the house.
Yeah.
Okay, but up against my foundation, I didn't want all this heavy clay that holds water and pressure pounding and pressing on my foundation. So I put many, many, many tons of gravel and backfilled all around there with gravel first.
Okay.
So gravel just lets the water go right down.
Yeah.
But clay holds it, and water is heavy, and you get all that weight pushing against your foundation. That's not a good deal. So the quality of your soil has a lot to do with how we would prepare around the exterior of the foundation for waterproofing.
And I would imagine that the way that you explained doing it took a little bit longer and cost a little bit more.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But now I'm enjoying the benefits because it can rain like crazy and I have no water pressing up against my house.
And it's probably going to last a really, really long time.
Here we go.
Yeah. And I think quality is, you know, a scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of your budget often predicts kind of how far into that quality you can go or not. So I think you just have to be aware that that's what you're sacrificing. More often than not, when you're looking at your budget, if you're trying to do something low budget, it might look great. There's ways to do really low quality products and make them look really good. But you are sacrificing quality and you are sacrificing longevity of the product.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And you know, that's why if someone calls and says, we just want to spruce our house up to sell it. That's not our client, is it?
Yeah, although we have actually done that a couple of times this year for people.
Have we really?
Yes, we have. Hmm. I know. But you know what? They lived in a high-quality home, and they knew it needed to be updated in line with the rest of the home.
Okay.
And given the housing market, they knew they would make it back.
Yeah,
so
true.
They made the right choice, and good for them sacrificing that for the next homeowner and the integrity of the home.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, typically not something we would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we're usually working for people that love their homes, love their neighborhood. They want to stay there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they did love all of that, but they were ready to downsize, but wanted to stick to the integrity of the home. Mm-hmm. So good for them.
Yep.
But yeah, so, okay. So getting through the foundation, what about, you know, your subfloor, your framing, mm-hmm. the wood that you use for that? I mean, a 2x4 is a 2x4, no?
That's not really true.
Okay.
There's different grades of 2x4s. And
well, straight and not straight ones for sure.
Yeah. So there's hem fir, like hemlock and Douglas fir, a mix. A spruce pine fir is a mix. And then there's different quality levels. So where you buy your 2x4s from makes a difference, because different lumber companies get their lumber from different places and different sources.
And so I would imagine in that instance, I'm just purely guessing here, the quality of the 2x4 in that instance makes the installation easier, not necessarily more integrity of the wall?
Or a little bit of both? That's not
necessarily true. Okay.
Because you want the wood dry to a certain percentage. So dimensional lumber, it might be 15% or so. Not like lumber that you would build furniture with, but it is dried. And you want lumber that's not going to start warping and crowning on you after you put it up.
Okay.
So the straighter the lumber, the easier the install. So yeah, higher quality lumber makes for an easier install. You're not having to sort through so many boards or crown so many boards. Mm-hmm. So when I say crown boards, some dimensional lumber, like let's say you're putting a floor system in and using a 2x10-14, 2x10-12.
Okay.
So 12-foot long 2x10 is going to make your floor joist for that room.
Yeah.
Well, some of those boards may be perfectly straight. A lot of them are going to have a little bit of a crown to them one way or the other. So when a good installer is laying that floor out and setting up his joist to get installed, he's going to make sure all the crowns are up. So he's going to eyeball every single joist and find the crown side, the side that's higher, and he's going to have that face up, right? Because you would want that higher, because you're going to be putting weight on the floor that'll press it down a little bit.
Okay.
So that way the crowns are all going the same direction. Imagine if you have crowns and you flip-flop them. So one crown's high, one crown's low, the next crown's high. What do you think that's going to do to your floor sheathing?
Make it a little wobbly.
That's right. It's going to be up, down, up, down, up, down.
Okay.
So crowning the lumber, that's a quality installation. You're taking your material and you're using it to its best advantage. So any imperfections that it has, you're going to use them as an advantage, not a disadvantage.
And again, I would imagine that takes a little longer and costs a little more.
Well, it just takes a little more time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting.
But
I never knew that.
It's going to give you a better install.
Better, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So then drywall.
Mm-hmm.
Is drywall typically something you're really seeking quality for, or are they all fairly comparable?
Yeah, drywall brands typically, you know, unless it's a Chinese brand or something, it's going to be very comparable.
Okay.
So with drywall, the whole quality issue is mainly in the installation.
Okay.
Yeah, installing and finishing is where drywall is going to shine if it's done well, or it's going to look like junk if it's done poorly.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And then the mudding, of course, and mm-hmm. all that process all the is very crucial to the outcome.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that here in just a minute. You're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, and we're glad that you're here, aren't we, Jamie?
Yes,
we're glad
absolutely.
All those people are out there listening.
Definitely.
Yep. Do you have anything important for them to hear? I mean,
just more about quality.
Okay. All right. Let's have a quality presentation. How about that?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Let's do it. So we were talking about drywall. Mm-hmm. And actually, I have kind of a funny story. So,
are you a drywall finisher?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That sounds terrible. Okay. But we finished our basement a year ago or so. Mm-hmm. And Jen, one of our design consultants, came over in the evening with her family. We were hanging out and she's like, I want to see the basement. I was like, well, they just like mudded the drywall. It's kind of gross down there. And she's like, that's what I like to see.
Oh, okay.
You know, she's like, that's what I want to see. Mm. And she comes down there and she's like, oh, this is a really great drywall job. Mm. And I was like, it was so funny to me because who else would come over someone's house and, you know, check want to see drywall and like appreciate the installation of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was saying, she's like, although there you're going to run into an issue. Mm-hmm. She kept pointing out stuff. I'm like, okay, get out of here. but yeah, she was just really enjoyed looking at drywall.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, isn't that kind of a joke or a saying, you know, it's like watching drywall dry or something like that.
Yeah.
Watching paint dry. But yeah, she appreciated the installation of the drywall.
Mm-hmm.
And not many people would even know what good or bad looked like.
Yeah. Do you know what a nail pop is?
I do know what a nail pop is because we lived in a new build.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar.
Yes.
Why don't you tell people what it is, though?
Okay. So a nail pop is where you can see where they nailed or screwed the drywall, and it actually pops away from the wall. So why does it do that, Jamie?
You mentioned expansion and contraction. Build. Yeah, expansion, contraction, moisture, along those lines. Okay.
That's it, humidity. So let's say you frame up your house, you're all excited, and it rains, it's in the spring, April. It rains on the house a lot, and then they put on the floor sheathing. This the same thing happens with floor sheathing and the drywall on, especially before they glued all the stuff. So you're putting you got wet lumber. So mm-hmm. wood expands when it's wet. So it gets bigger. 2x4 measures 1.5 by 3.5. If it's wet, it might be 3 5/8.
Mm.
So it's swelled up.
Yeah.
Then you're fastening this drywall right up against that swelled up product. Then over time, what happens? It starts drying out.
Yeah.
So it shrinks. So it pulls that nail head in, and it creates this fracture of where the plaster over that nail head or the drywall compound.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's popped because that stud has shrinked.
Yeah.
So that happens a lot, but gluing and screwing drywall went a long way to solving that issue.
Okay.
Because the nails, that's why back when we were nailing drywall, they said use a really short nail so that when that stud shrinks, it'll pull the nail with the stud. If you use a longer nail, then that nail penetrates too deep and too much wood shrinks from the where the nail ends up in the wood out to the outside of the wood.
Hmm.
But so that creates a nail pop. But the install, screwing it on, it makes a big difference. And they used to glue it a lot, but now if we use plastic, there's different ways of insulating. You can use bat insulation with a facing on it and staple it on the inside of the studs so you're leaving the wood exposed. So then you can glue the drywall on. But if you just run plastic clear across the whole thing, then you're just depending on your screws to hold it up tight.
Hmm.
So there's that on the install. And making sure that it's installed securely everywhere because you don't want drywall flopping
right.
It's got to be tight to every surface.
Sure.
So you don't get the cracking. But then mudding drywall is a real art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can do it, but I don't like doing it, and it takes me forever to do it.
Yeah.
But if I watch, like I hired pros to do my addition, the guys we use, like Edwin, he's an artist with mm-hmm. drywall finishing. And just watching them work was so amazing. They're so quick at it. And so precise, and they have to hardly sand it at all. I mean,
yeah.
It's just amazing what they do. And if there's imperfections in the wall or dips or stuff, you know, the things they do to fill that area and level it all out. I mean, it's really a work of art.
It is, and I think it's really interesting what you can do. You can really fix a huge hole in the wall or a gouge in the wall and things like that. I think it's mm-hmm. really cool what you can do. We had one of our carpenters installed floating shelves into like a three-sided nook
mm-hmm.
in our house. And he really wanted them in there tight and really secure because it was in an area with kids. I'm like, just in case they climb these,
mm-hmm.
I need to make sure they're going to stay there. And he had to notch out some of the drywall mm-hmm. to get them in there
because
it wasn't perfectly squared.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, geez, how are we ever going to fix that?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Because it looks like a big deal.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I mean, you can't even, I was amazed. You just cannot tell at all. He was able to patch in the drywall and fix it, no problem.
So we'll work on a lot of older homes, right?
Yeah.
And older homes, you know, like I always say, I saw a straight wall once.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means there's a lot of walls that aren't straight.
Sure.
There's a lot of ceilings that aren't perfectly flat. They might roll a little bit up and down. So here we are putting in a beautiful kitchen and installing crown molding up against the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And what if that ceiling's got a big dip in it or something? Well, we call our drywallers in and they float it all out. So they'll come and kind of straighten it out and even out all of the dips and nooks and crannies so that the crown molding fits flush.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right, so moving on from drywall, now we got to put in some materials. So, you know, tile, hardwood floors, cabinetry, where should we start?
Let's start at the floor and work up from there.
All right. So tile. Now, assuming at this point you've done all quality workmanship, quality installation, you have a really good subfloor and foundation to work off of, which really helps with any install of any product, whether it's high quality or not. But then there's also just the quality of the education of the installer and the material. You know, I think is a big factor, knowing that they this is something that they've worked with before and know how to work with is important.
Yeah. You know, with tile, in terms of the material, there's no excuse for buying junk tile because there's a lot of really good tiles, porcelain tiles, when we use a lot of. And the good tile is not that expensive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to spend $2.50 or $3 per square foot and get cheap tile, shame on you.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not square. It's not, the surfaces aren't going to align. The finish isn't going to do you well. So you're going to want to spend, you know, $5 or $6 a square foot or more for, and that's not bad.
Yeah.
For a decent quality porcelain tile. So there you're going to be working with a tile that's square so that when they fit up against each other, you don't have irregularities and gaps. And so that's number one, buy quality tile. Now, tile, when you talk about quality, my gosh, I mean, prices can go from the $5 or $6 square foot way up to anything.
Yeah.
So, or if it's marble or slate or whatever you're using. So you can get really expensive tiles, but you can also buy really nice tiles at very reasonable cost. So the install, layout and prep work and install for tile is absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great products. Schluter makes most of the great tile products today. So they make great underlay decoupling membranes, which help to minimize, like if the floor is moving or which would cause cracks in a tile, this helps kind of decouple that. So the tile is not as likely to crack. So Schluter makes great products. They make thinset mortar, the different decoupling membranes you put under the tile for flooring and for shower walls. We'll talk more about that, Jamie, in a minute. The Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. We are back and we're talking about tile. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we ended the last segment with. So if you're just joining in with us, we've been talking about quality materials and workmanship. So Jamie's telling me about all of her experiences installing things. And
yes.
You're kind of setting me straight on all the quality, right, Jamie?
That's right. Quality definitely matters for sure.
All right. So we were talking about tile. And the prep work that goes into tile.
Yeah.
So I was talking about right before the break, the decoupling membrane that Schluter makes for floor systems. And so you've got the preparation, which is so crucial. You got to make sure your subfloor is thick enough and your floor system is sturdy enough. And the size of tiles you're using comes into play. So the larger format tiles today are more popular. So right now, unless you're kind of have a retro look, the most tiles are 12 by 24 or larger now on floors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So prepping the floor out is crucial. And as the install goes together, so when you install floor tile, you're going to put your thin sit mortar down,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to use a notch trowel, which creates these grooves, and your tile is going to sit in there. But okay. you don't just put the tile in there. You turn it upside down, and you do what we call butter the back. So you'll take a flat trowel, and you'll smear the thin sit mortar all over the back of that tile. And then you'll set it down into the other thin sit mortar that's on the ground. So that gives you a really, really good contact with all the thin sit.
Okay.
But there's another problem. You're laying all this tile out, and you find that, my edges are not all lining up really well.
Hmm.
So they make these great things called floor leveling clips.
Okay.
And we use those, and they're so critical because even if you have a perfectly flat floor, you're putting thin sit down, you're pushing tile in, it's not going to all be perfectly, you know, the surfaces of the tops are not going to line up perfectly.
Yeah.
So these clips are going to pull them together.
Okay.
So that way, even if your floor is not level, these clips do an amazing job of pulling all the surfaces at the top flush so that you don't have offsets in your
Tile. So it's nice and smooth. Yeah. That makes sense.
So those clips, they came out like a few years ago. And before the clips came, it was a real hassle because you were working with just your hand and pressing and pulling and trying to get it as level as you could.
Yeah. And so is that something you use only on floor tile, or would you use that for wall tile?
Wall tile? Okay. Too. Yeah, any larger format wall tile, definitely.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. Interesting. All right. And so with tile, quality materials, of course, yes. and then installation is going to matter as well, so that it's level.
Layout of tile is really critical.
You
get all these pieces and how they lay out against the different walls, and are they even everywhere, or are you book matching the tile as you go around the shower system? There's just so many things to lay out. A lot of our tile installers will spend more time than you would ever dream just laying it all out.
Yeah, it is important because, it's the kind of thing you don't notice it if it's done right. But if it's not done right and it's all the lines are a little off center or there's a weird cut, you do notice that.
And you live with that for how many years?
Yes, right?
A lot
of years. As long as it lasts, I guess.
Yeah.
But I know it's funny. That is one, I've worked here for almost 12 years now, and that is the most, spoiled thing I've come accustomed to is the quality of the planning. Through some of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. And it's made my expectation higher of my quality of things, and especially when it comes to layout and design.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy now, especially with like cabinetry, which we haven't even gotten into cabinetry, but the fillers used or like the spacing of the doors and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In our old house was, very builder grade house, builder grade cabinetry, and not custom cabinetry whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like, oh, let's just put these boxes up kind of a thing. We had added, in the design, an extra set of cabinets on the end, and it wasn't factored in to the rest of the design of it at all. And so there was just one cabinet on the end that had a door that swung the opposite way. And it was just always drove me crazy because it just, you could tell it wasn't planned out.
Yeah.
And so the expectation of the planning for me has gotten very high and not the standard of everybody.
Yeah.
But definitely the planning and execution of things is very important in the quality outcome.
Yep.
For sure. So I guess we have a few minutes left. What about cabinetry? Let's talk about quality cabinetry.
Sure.
A cabinet is a box of wood and a face on it.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the quality factors in that?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm an old cabinet maker.
Oh, yeah?
I made a lot of cabinets in my day. I love working with my hands. I love carpentry work and working with wood. But cabinets are... you've got the fronts is what you see, the doors, the drawer fronts. So there's definitely different quality levels of how they're made.
And how they're planned.
Planned, yes. And how, what
designed,
side the hinges go on, what type of hinges you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So a quality cabinet is going to not be a bunch of veneer. It's going to be solid wood.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a painted cabinet, it's probably going to be like a maple frame around the cabinet door, and the center panel could very well be MDF.
Yeah.
Because you don't get the expansion and contraction with that. So that's not making it a less quality cabinet.
Okay.
It's just using the physical attributes of MDF because it doesn't expand and contract. What happens if you have a big wood center panel on a painted cabinet? Wood expands and contracts, as we talked about, with moisture and humidity.
Yeah.
So you can have little cracks that develop where the cabinet panel fits into the styles and rails of the door. So, I mean, that can be, you can overcome that. You can finish part of the edge of that panel or the whole panel before it's assembled in there. But that's a lot of extra work too.
Yeah.
So the MDF panels work really well. But you're going to have typically a little wider styles and rails on a higher quality door.
Mm-hmm.
And really the doors and drawer fronts are about the most expensive thing on a cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into those and a lot of really good quality materials and wood.
Yeah. Now, is there that much difference in the quality of the box of the cabinet?
Sure. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
So what would, in your mind, what determines a quality cabinet?
So
what would you look for?
If you take like a very inexpensive builder grade cabinet, you're going to have probably 3/8 particle board sides, probably 1/8 inch back, maybe 1/4 inch floor. It's all going to be particle board with a vinyl coating.
Okay.
And then the exterior is going to be a vinyl wood grain type product.
Okay.
So it's not real wood. It looks, from a distance, it looks like wood.
Yeah. In a picture, it looks like wood. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be thin particle board. All your fasteners are going to be fastening into thin products. So your drawer guides that are screwed into that particle board, you know, the screws become loose over time. The drawer boxes are particle board. If you look at the other side of that and use all wood, you know, plywood or wood, solid wood dovetail drawers, all of that is going to be, you know, very good quality, lasts a long time, fasteners hold in it.
Okay.
So there's a huge difference.
So really it's the difference of real wood versus particle
part
board.
Yeah. 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 And
just is that the first thing you look for?
Yeah. Sure. I'd look at the interior. You can have a vinyl coating or a melamine coating on wood and that's fine. Or really there's some good quality cabinets that are built with the particle board sides. But there's a lot of variations in that, and that's where you need a good expert to help you with.
Mm-hmm.
So we are running out of time here, Jamie. It's been a great topic, and we'll be back next week.